The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.
Feeling better? Looking better? Making life better? It's Life Tips. We'll explore the latest innovations, introduce you to the latest products, and bring you the tips from experts and environmental pioneers to help you lead a better life. Life tips. Making your life smarter, better, faster, wiser. Here are your hosts.
Welcome back to the Life Tips Show, everyone. Byron White here. I'm here with Simon Reynolds. Simon, welcome to the show.
Hey, it's a pleasure to be here.
Simon, you are a coach, a speaker, a writer, an entrepreneur, and I hear a really funny guy.
Well, I don't know about the last, but definitely the former.
Oh, good. Well, we'll clarify that then. And I guess we're just happy to have you on the show. Now, you're now dedicating your illustrious career, as I understand, to this wonderful art of helping entrepreneurs. Tell us a little bit about your background, your illustrious career. You've had a lot of people working for you and a couple of real success stories with your entrepreneurial background. So tell us a little bit about your background.
Yeah, sure. My background has been marketing, and my last company, we started with two people in 2000 and grew it to the 15th largest marketing group in the world with over 6,000 staff on the payroll and offices in 14 countries. So I started off actually as a copywriter, a writer of ads, and then ended up on the business side.
Interesting. Love the copywriter background. It's funny, I'm looking at marketing directors now, and very few marketing directors and marketing strategists, in my opinion, come from the copywriting background, which is really a shame. It's all about copy and content. Can you tell us about that connection of your roots with copywriting and how that probably greatly influenced your ability to grow and expand?
Well, I entirely agree with what you just said, and I haven't heard it before, but the truth is that copywriters are normally excellent strategists because they spend their whole life trying to convince people to do stuff. So what happens sometimes in strategic circles, you know, in big companies these days, is we get too enamored with the research. We get too enamored with complex models, whereas when a copywriter works on it, he's just thinking about the human element. How do you persuade someone to take money out of their wallet and pay for something? And that's why I think, as you say, a lot of great marketing directors have copywriting skills, but not enough of them.
Tell us a little bit about the secret to success in your mind with how you were able to grow your last organization so quickly.
Well, look, I certainly don't think I'm smarter than anybody else. I have a couple of things that might be different to a lot of people. I have a sense of daring on occasion. So, you know, I'll ask for crazy things. And on this occasion, I asked for $5 million from a very rich guy. And he was foolish enough to give it to me. So that's how we started the company. So one is daring. That's been really important for me. And the second thing is continuous learning. You know, I started off knowing nothing, of course, about the industry, but I'm an obsessive reader. I'm an obsessive studier. I really just try and get it better and better every day. In fact, I have a little sign in my bathroom, and it just says better and better, and that's what I'm aiming to be. So I think they're the primary differences that, you know, between me and, I guess, some other people. But I certainly don't want to give the impression that I think I'm some amazing person. You know, I'm full of a million flaws. And I think that needs to be emphasized too. You know, even though we built a big company, there were 10,000 mistakes. And for any entrepreneurs out there who are struggling, you know, it's important to remember that as long as you keep going, you really can get there.
I want to ask you about better. Is it better and better or better than better?
That's my Australian accent. Better and better.
And better so and,
that's
and,
what I'm trying
A&D.
To do. I'm just trying to get a little bit better each day.
Ah, because it's funny. I had a tagline that I used in some of the marketing that we've put together, and it was, you know, we want to make your business better and better than that.
Nice.
And And it was related more to A-B testing and multivariate testing and the importance of that as you, you know, learn how the web works and whatnot. Tell us about your marketing strategies that you've deployed and developed, and were they packed with the latest and greatest technologies, or more principle and fundamental, you know, approach to turning browsers into believers and believers into buyers?
Well, very much the fundamental part. I mean, there is clearly, once you get on the web, there's highly technical and ever-changing tactics to maximize your response, and vital tactics as well. They have to be learned, or you have to find someone who has them. But we very much start on the fundamentals, you know. Who is your target audience? Now, that is such an elementary thing, but very, very few entrepreneurs are absolutely clear on who their target audience is. Like, what's their age? What are they feeling? What are their fears? What are their hopes and desires? You know, what's likely to be their typical background demographically and psychographically? And most people say, oh, yeah, my customer is X. But that's only 10% of who their customer is. So fundamentals like saying, who's your customer? And second of all, you know, what do they really want and what do they really worry about? And so many marketing campaigns are just shallow and not impactful because they don't ask those two questions in depth.
I have a super challenging question that I've been wrestling with, and it's impossible to answer, I know, but we hear a lot, and I speak a lot about you know, understanding the wants and needs of your customers. But my worry in that is that people interpret that as you know, when there's a CEO or director of marketing, they think of wants and needs in terms of the wants and needs related to their products and their services, right? Not their real wants and needs, right? So, you know, related to, hey, I need to find a gift for my son for his birthday. You know, I need to, you know, these are wants and needs as well, well outside of the business circle. Do you think that that is becoming increasingly important, particularly with the advance of social media, in understanding your customers' wants and needs beyond the scope of business? Is that coming into play now, Simon?
I entirely agree in two fundamental ways. The first is, obviously, it's going to lead to a more persuasive advertisement. The second is, with all the social media, you're going to be able to tap into them via different buying strategies, so different keyword strategies and different ways of identifying them, not just, as you say, by the product that they may want now, but the lifestyle they may lead, which can get you to speak to them in the first place. If you don't know that, if you don't know that background stuff, then you're forced to buy often very expensive or comparatively expensive online ads that don't target them nearly as well.
How do you learn the wants and needs of customers? You know, what is your secret to learning those important key connection points?
Well, you know, I have a radical and outrageous method of finding out what their wants and needs is. And that is, I ask them. I literally will call 10 of them up or sit in a room with 20 of them, or I'll send out a survey, which is another thing I recommend, just a questionnaire to your target market or everybody on your list. And what's incredible is you find out amazing stuff from that. For instance, I was coaching an entrepreneur a few months ago, and he was terrified of altering his price, of lifting the price of his product up. Anyway, he did a survey, and he found that price was listed by his target market as number 5 in importance in their selection criteria. So unless you actually ask them, then you never know. And it's such a simple technique. But once again, 7 out of 10 business owners have not actually gone out in a consistent way and asked their customers exactly what they care about.
These are traditional vehicles and surveys, sitting down with a small focus group. Have you dug in, Simon, to the A-B testing and the multivariate testing world and using that as a resource and getting extremely radical with a wide variety of campaigns and trying to see which flavor works? You know, have you dug into that a little bit?
Well, I'm a huge fan of A/B testing, or, you know, for some people listening, that's the testing of different headlines or different ads, different approaches towards your target market. And not enough marketers do it. And the more they do it, the more they'll learn. It's amazing, you know, someone will spend 5 years running the same ad, and they do it because they get a reasonable response. They finally made a couple of changes to the headline. They may double their response. And you know this, you know it very well, but it's amazing how few people will do the A/B split testing. So to answer the second part of your question, have I gone into our amazing complexity on it? No, I haven't, and I probably should have. There are, you know, there, you can test endlessly, as you know. There are hundreds of variants: the color of your ad, the typeface, whether you have a full stop, whether you have a capital letter, for instance, on your Google ads for each word that affects response. Now, all these things are factors, and I try and do a lot of it. Do I do enough? Probably not. I mean, it's an endless field.
Great stuff. I want to take a station break, but let's get back in a minute, and I want to dive into entrepreneurs and what's happening there. What are the pain points? What advice do you have to help entrepreneurs like me and many others that are trying to take their business to the next level? Back in just a second, everybody.
Life Tips will be right back after this short break. As you know, being an expert at
What did she say?
Requires lots of practice and a great tool. Think you could use some help with f***?
Whoa!
You're not alone. Hundreds have used our tool to take their f*** performance to the next level.
The language!
Of course, we're talking about managing Facebook ads on Acquisio.
Oh.
Buy, track, manage, optimize, and report on media across all major ad networks. Visit Acquisio.com to get a demo today. Acquisio.
In 500 yards, CPA Way will be on your right. You have reached your destination.
On the interstate of internet marketing, CPA Way helps you monetize the way, no matter which direction you're heading. CPA Way is your route to low-risk revenue. Advertisers, we have paved the way to delivering revenue channels that will meet and exceed your expectations. Publishers, we monitor and manage your campaigns to bring you the most revenue possible. Publishers can feel secure to leverage direct offers, while advertisers can find safety offering their most valued campaigns.
Looking for a white label trust, SEO and respect, social platform for your clients?
Think is just ahead.
Free and unlimited SEO
audit
reports.
Ebrands.
Premium Facebook apps and welcome page creators.
Ebrands.
Twitter management app, analytics, and mobile site generators.
Ebrands.
Let Ebrands manage your search and social media campaigns and give you and your clients access to their white label dashboard, which have great reports that will wow your clients and deliver great ROI and results. Try Ebrands for 30 days. Go to ebrandswithaz.com or call 1-866-625-5717. That's Ebrands with a Z for
Ebrands.
Rock the world with LinkedIn. Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, or on demand anytime inside the Internet Marketing Channel. Only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
And now back to Life Tips. Making your life smarter, better, faster, and wiser. Here are your hosts.
Welcome back, Simon.
Hey, it's great to be here.
Thanks for being on the show. I want to talk a little bit about entrepreneurs and what messages you're riveting them with as you go out and speak publicly and talk with them about how to take businesses to the next level.
Sure. Well, the first thing that I talk about is the importance of marketing. I really believe that marketing is 70% of building a business. You know, it's amazing how many people will go bankrupt and only because of one reason, and that is that they're not spending enough time trying to get a customer. So if you ask many people who've gone under in their business, how many hours a day did you spend trying to get new customers rather than just handling your current customers or doing administration or going to meetings that weren't about generating a customer? And if they're truthful, they'll typically say, well, I got to say that, you know, sometimes 80% of my day, 90% of my day, and plenty of times 100% of my day was spent doing stuff that wasn't about getting a new customer. So I really emphasize that at least 50% of your day when you've got a young business should be about generating customers. So that's the first thing I say. And then the second thing I do is I talk about the importance of testing different approaches. And I'm not just talking about A-B testing like we were talking before, mm-hmm. but rather testing different advertising mediums, testing different sales presentations, testing different ways of answering the phone, different ways of presenting your company, different ways of designing your website. Continual testing of everything leads to, you know, 3%, 4%, 5% improvements every month, which over time add up to astronomical improvements in the success of your business. And most mm-hmm. people don't do that.
Mm-hmm. How do you explore new options and new venues, new channels to market to? What's in your opinion, is the best way to explore those? You obviously had incredible resources at your shop and you know, in developing marketing agencies. But for those of us that don't have those resources, how do you find these channels to experiment in?
Well, you know, it isn't difficult. It's really a matter of keeping it very, very simple and say, okay, what do I do now to get a customer? And normally in my experience when I coach entrepreneurs, it's they do one of two things. They put an ad online, let's say they do some Google AdWords, or maybe they do a local newspaper advertisement. They, you know, obviously there's a million variants, but they do one or two things. Now, I then say, okay, how can you try 10 things? Give me a list of another 8 that you could do. And sometimes they find it hard. Well, they say, well, I could send out a direct mail pitch. And I said, that's great, that's one. I could do some more PR, that's two. You know, I could work on redesigning my website, and that's great. I could create an email newsletter, well, that's four, et cetera, et cetera. And pretty soon they realize that most of the ways of getting a customer, they're not even trying.
Mm-hmm.
So that's mission one. Get them clear that they should be trying at least 10 different ways to get a customer. And then mm-hmm. mission two is get them to try at least one medium a month. At low cost, just tiny little trials, and see what kind of response they get. And when they get a bite, then they finesse that media. Now, what happens, I've found, is when you do this experimental approach, that 2 or 3 months later, you found 2 more media that work really well, often better than the original media you're using. And then mm-hmm. you're in a great position because you're getting twice the customers in.
Yeah. Totally. Just super simple advice, but so spot on. What kind of resources do you think you need to execute on, say, 10 different campaigns? I mean, who would be your guerrilla marketing team that you would assemble if you were a small company, maybe 10 employees? You know, do you feel like you need a director of marketing? You feel like you need a copywriter? Do you feel like you need a graphics person? Do you freelance this all stuff out? What about a media buyer? You know, do you use remote talent for this when you're in, quote, experimental mode? Give us a feel for that.
That's a terrific question. Regarding whether they outsource it to a marketing director, I say absolutely not. You've got to be, as an entrepreneur, in charge of the marketing. You cannot delegate that. Why? Because it's the most important part of your business. Now, having said that, in areas like online, the learning curve is steep to grasp what you have to do. So I would certainly consider going on places like Elance to find potential people who can help you with SEO, or to find people who can help you with doing your Google Ads. And the third thing I'd suggest, and I know this is kind of crazily simplistic, but I would buy one of the Four Dummies series or one of the Idiot's Guide series of books on topics you want to master. You know, whenever I delve into an issue I don't know anything about, I'll buy one of those books. I'll buy, or have in the past, bought, you know, SEO for Dummies or email marketing for Dummies or building websites for Dummies. And I've got to tell you, they're normally extremely well written for the layman, with tips that often many experts don't know about, and they're very, very clear. So you read one of the books so you know the gist of it, and then you get in and get some freelancers in and test who's good based on what you now know.
Mm-hmm. What kind of budget do you think you need to experiment, or is that just too hard of a question to answer, really? But, you know, what kind of revenue should you be generating on XY spend, you know, and is it all just testing and so laser-focused you can't even generalize about that?
Well, in general terms, I'd say a really small one. And now that's different thing. It means different things for different sized businesses, of course. But I'm a huge believer in very, very small tests. So run a small print ad. Spend a few $100 a week on Google Ads. Just make little tweaks to your website. Try late night radio that might only cost you a small amount of money rather than prime time, et cetera, et cetera. That's the first part of it. And then the second thing I do is just make sure that you're measuring. Because what some people do is they're trying these things and they're just not sure of the results. They don't keep a track of the calls when people ring or exactly find out where people who contact them heard about their product. And as a result of that, they're quite unscientific. So if you combine spending small with small testing with getting very, very clear about your results, then you should be okay.
Tell us about results. Tell us about tracking results. You know, how have you seen it done in the past? How have you done it in the past? You know, how do you keep track of user acquisition cost, you know, being influenced by multiple campaigns? What's the bottom line, you know, KPI that you look at?
Well, I mean, the first thing, and this will, you know, this will be very obvious to you, but it's missed by 80% of businesses. The first thing you should do before you do any marketing is get very clear on what your results are now. So how many calls am I getting now? How many sales am I getting? What is the value of the typical sale I get? Most people don't know that. What is the lifetime value of the customer? So yes, they come in once, but do they stay on average 3 years before they cancel? Do they spend this amount of money? These are very important points. So you get clear on how many leads you're getting in, what percentage you convert, what they spend, all these type of things. Unless you get clear first, then all your efforts at marketing are unscientific. They're unlikely to lead to entirely accurate results when you review them. So that's the first mission. And then the second is just develop a simple system. You know, normally on one piece of paper, one spreadsheet, where you can keep an eye every day and every week and every month on what your results are. So keep it simple, but be exact, I guess, in some way.
Is there a specific, and by the way, you have a wonderful DVD series that probably goes into some of these nitty-gritty details. Is that correct, Simon?
Ah, sure. If people go on my website, simonreynolds.com, and that's with two I's, S-I-M-O-N, Reynolds. I've got a series of DVDs where I'm literally coaching 8 entrepreneurs at once for about 7 weeks in a row. And you can see them ask me questions about business from a million different areas, and I answer that. And in my book, Why People Fail, which has just come out, I talk about a lot of the primary reasons that not just entrepreneurs fail, but people in general fail in life. And so I'd highly recommend that as well.
Hmm. And are there actual spreadsheets or software or anything that you recommend somebody use for template structures to try to manage their business better and or their marketing better?
Well, no, I don't recommend any. I'm sure they're out there. There'd be numerous workflow systems and marketing templates out there. I don't push them particularly. And if, you know, to be honest, people want to know what I do. I get a pad of paper and I record the results on a piece of paper each week. I'm not on the cutting edge of technology when it comes to recording results, but I can tell you, I can see what they are. You know, it's really interesting. When Richard Branson's house burnt down a few weeks ago, he said the number one thing that he tried to save was his written paper journals of his ideas and his business experiments and how they'd gone. And, you know, paper may be a disappearing medium, but it still works.
Wow. Was he able to save those?
I don't believe so, no. I think he lost most of them, and that was 30 years of them. He kept his journals for 30 years.
No kidding. Wow, that's really something. How did the fire start, by the way? Just on a side note, it's kind of an interesting side story. I didn't catch that.
Yeah, look, I don't know, but it was on his island, Necker Island. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's I've seen photos of it. It's mostly wood structures around there, so it probably, you know, probably started in the kitchen and grew pretty fast. Wow. No fire engines out on islands.
Yeah, interesting. So the overall summary you might have, you know, if you were to pinpoint, you know, success and how you were able to achieve such incredible success, do you have any conclusions for us on what were the key factors that really accelerated the growth of a couple of companies that you've been involved with and led?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. You know, I spent a year writing a book on this, Why People Fail, and I got down to 16 reasons why people fail. And of course, the opposite is if you do the opposite, you'll succeed. Yeah. And I really believe one of the primary ones is unclear purpose. If you ask someone what are the top three jobs right now that I should be doing in my organization, they often can't immediately tell you. If you ask what are the top three reasons a client might go to us, they can't, versus our competitors, they can't tell you. If you say what's the exact amount of money that you want to be earning in 3 years, they can't tell you. People are pretty unclear. I think also destructive thinking is a big one. You know, as entrepreneurs, as business people, or anyone who wants to succeed in life, you know, we're ambitious. And at the same time we have big dreams, often we pull ourselves down with negative thinking and we get into destructive spirals where we say to ourselves, hey, who am I kidding with all these big dreams? You know, I don't deserve this. So I think you've really got to watch your thinking. I think that a lack of energy is a huge component in the long term in success, in business and in life. You know, so many business people they'll do 14 hours a day, but they won't spend 10 minutes actually down at the gym trying to get fit, trying to build up their energy. And or you know, they'll work themselves 6 days a week, but they won't look after their diet. Now, if you look at the work of the Human Performance Institute in Florida, what they've shown conclusively over 10 years is that energy, not time management, is the number one component of effective action. So you need to maintain your physical energy in order to perform well. And you need to maintain your emotional energy, be supportive of yourself. So I deal with a whole stack of reasons why people fail. And it is a passion of mine, success. You know, I spent over 25 years studying the most successful people. I've met numerous billionaires. I've read over 1,000 books on the subject. And I'm really interested in why people fail. I guess I put everything that I've learned into one short, sharp book.
What's the name of that one short book that you recommend?
Yeah, the book I've written, which has just come out in America, is called Why People Fail, The 16 mm-hmm. Obstacles to Success and How You Can Overcome Them.
Terrific. Simon, I'm going to read your website address so people can latch on to you there. It's S-I-I-M-O-N Reynolds, Reynolds.com. Can you tell us a little bit about the site and what's on it and what they could find and how you may or may not want people to connect with you?
Yeah, fantastic. Well, first of all, there's a summary of me. And importantly, there's you popped into my email newsletter where I give weekly tips on business. So I'm always thinking about business ideas. I'm a columnist on Forbes, for instance, on entrepreneurship. And I put the best of my ideas on my weekly newsletter. And I really, certainly recommend people subscribe to that. And then finally, I've got different coaching options and my video course on creating a great business. So So all of that stuff's on the website, and the information changes all the time. So you can visit it often and just get a boost or a tip that can help you build your business.
Yes, indeed. A perfect closing. Thanks so much for being on the show today, Simon.
It's been fantastic. Really enjoyed my time here.
Yes, well, we're honored to have you. And once again, thank you for your time. Until next week, everybody, I hope your life is a little smarter, better, faster, and wiser. Thanks to Simon, and we'll see you next week.